I'll begin by introducing myself. My name is Yannock. I also go by the name Ian Mays. And I live at Twin Oaks, which is a egalitarian income-sharing commune in Central Virginia. It's also an intentional community. And I think one thing I should make clear in the beginning is that communes isn't necessarily the same thing as intentional community. Commune is just one form of intentional community, and there are many other forms. And so I guess I should begin first. You may be wondering, what exactly is an intentional community? I would say that there's three different things that compose an intentional community. The first thing being that it is not temporary. It's not a permanent, and it's not a temporary autonomous zone. It has permanent intentions, at least. The second thing is that it's self-managed, that the manager or managers live on the property. And the third aspect is that people get together and live together intentionally, or self-selecting, or free association, whatever you want to call it. And for examples of this, communes, of course, is an example, but then just collective houses can be another example, squats, group houses, land trusts, eco-villages, all of these can be examples of what I mean by intentional community. Okay, so in terms of the advantages of an intentional community for anarchists, I would say that one of the biggest advantages is that it helps learning about anarchism, basically. Learning mainly through practice, everyday experience. I would argue that the best way to learn about anarchism is not through theoretical debate and study, but more through your practice, praxis, or whatever. And that intentional community gives ample experience for that, ample opportunity for that. Simply because, for one aspect, you live there every day. It's everyday, daily life experience. These people, you know, that you live with are, like, always, you know, there. You have to deal with the conflicts. You have to deal with whatever issues come up. And, like, in terms of even trivial details that anarchists oftentimes don't even think about, like, you know, making food or cleaning the dishes, cleaning the toilet, all that stuff like that. People don't usually associate that with anarchist theory or learning anarchism. You have to deal with that in an intentional community living environment. Another way that it helps you learn about anarchism is that it's a very close group of people. You live with them every day. And it can help you form relationships with them, help you be able to communicate with them and on deeper levels than you would with people on the street that you hardly know. And through such, you know, close bonds with people, I would argue that that's also a good opportunity to learn about anarchism and just daily life, human social existence. Yeah. Interpersonal skills, blah, blah. Another advantage of intentional community, I would say, is that it focuses on building, creating, developing, and living, as opposed to the traditional anarchist approach of being antagonistic or struggling against something or trying to destroy something. One of the main critiques I've heard from a lot of people that don't know that much about anarchism is that anarchism is mainly about destruction, you know, or, you know, fighting, conflict. Whereas a lot of times anarchists generally all agree that it's about creating a new world, hardly any emphasis is put on that. And intentional communities is mainly about building something. And let's see. At the same time, people say that the conflict is definitely necessary for creating an anarchist society, and that you still live within a capitalist society, and you still have to deal with it. And I say that's totally true, and that with living in intentional community and group living, you have you're collective organized, you deal with the capitalist system, but you deal with it as a group, you deal with it as a collective. So instead of it is a struggle against the capitalist system, because you do have to deal with economic shortage of money and all that shit, but at the same time you're dealing with it as a group, collective struggle, in terms of not necessarily in terms of traditional models of unions or tenant organizing. It still is a form of organized class struggle, in a sense, because people that compose intentional communities are not capitalists. Capitalists will never live that way. Another positive advantage for intentional community is that it is an alternative institution. A lot of times at this conference, people have been talking about creating alternative institutions, the necessity and importance of creating alternative institutions, and intentional communities is definitely a model of it. It's one that affects people and one of the most basic levels in terms of how you live your daily life, actually, you know, living, housing, and all that. And it meets people's real needs, namely that of shelter, housing, living together, interpersonal. And also it creates a material foundation for an alternative, which I'll go into later with dual power. And one other advantage for an intentional community is that it contributes to the capitalist system less. It's basically the principle of economy of scale. If you have enough people living together, sharing and cooperating, you reduce on your cost, it's more economical, and you're not giving as much money to the capitalist system as before. So this is, I was talking about intentional community in general. Then there's anarchist intentional communities, which in my mind is a pretty vague thing because I don't really know of any intentional communities that explicitly call themselves or identify themselves as anarchists. But there's definitely anti-authoritarian leftist communities, a lot of which that activists live in, you know, squats is an example, or just a lot of activist kids live in the same house, or there's punk houses, whatever. I would call those anarchist intentional communities. And I would see there as being advantages to living to the anarchist intentional communities, which normal intentional communities do not have. One is that it's an explicitly anarchist learning environment, where explicitly anarchist or anti-authoritarian critiques and suggestions can be made. So that, you know, if you're making some mistake in your interpersonal or decision-making aspects of living in the community, you can be given an actual anarchist critique of hierarchy or, you know, dominating, intimidating people that you might not get living in a normal intentional community where people don't have the anarchist consciousness. Another advantage to living in the anarchist intentional community is that it creates a little miniature, you know, small-scale anarchist society where you can see kind of how anarchism in action or what an anarchist society would look like. And also it helps with non-anarchists see what anarchist society would look like in the nuts and bolts aspects. Granted, of course, this is nowhere near, you know, the large-scale millions of people anarchist society would want. It is a small miniature glimpse of what an anarchist society could possibly be. Another advantage is that mistakes will happen. You will fuck up. And the thing is, you can document that, and you can learn from these mistakes to help other collectives, to help anarchist theory in general, to help other anarchist institutions and the revolutionary situation in general, learn what mistakes will happen, learn how to overcome them, learn of different possibilities of overcoming them, and just basically learning from experience that you normally wouldn't get from just theorizing or just small-scale anarchist organizing where you only meet, like, once a week or whatever. Another advantage for an anarchist intentional community is that it can serve possibly as an intellectual safe haven or a refueling station, in the sense that living in mainstream authoritarian society, I think for a lot of anarchists or anti-authoritarian radicals, really beats down on people and disillusions a lot of people. And it's not, oftentimes gets really hard for people to maintain an anarchist critique or consciousness simply because all the lies of mainstream society and all the pressure to conform or to accept dominant standards of thinking and looking at things, it, you know, often disillusions you and, you know, makes a lot of people cynical or just give up their radical beliefs. Anarchist intentional community is can be a place, a living environment that you live with other like-minded people that can help inspire you, encourage you to keep you going and to, you know, get support that you, a lot of people, anarchists need. And a lot of anarchists overlook the necessity for having this support structures in place. And another advantage, of course, is that it can be an anarchist intentional community can be an open resource to the anarchist movement. It can, in a sense, be a 24-hour info shop. You can have different practical benefits for the community at large or the radical community at large, such as the collective house or whatever your community is, can be an open meeting space. It could be serve as a library or a bike library. You can cook meals for like Food Not Bombs there. It can be a crash pad for traveling radicals or punk bands or whatever. And just in general, it can be serve the same function as an info shop, but you live there and it's always open. Another advantage is that for anarchist intentional communities compared to regular intentional communities is that you don't fall into the trap of apoliticalism or apathy, which I know some intentional communities, to some degree in Twin Oaks where I live, sometimes fall into that trap. And a lot of times, I think anarchists, to some degree, mistakenly say that intentional communities is escapism. But sometimes I see that critique as being true for non-anarchist intentional communities, simply because some people, I think, do go there to escape. And I think that's not inherent in intentional communities itself, but that could happen. And this can be definitely avoided by having an anarchist intentional community. And the last advantage would be, basically, I would see an anarchist intentional community as being the ideal affinity group. If you want to do some action of some kind, this would be the ideal group of people to do it with, because you live with them. You know them really intimately. You can trust them, or hopefully, ideally, you can trust them. And in terms of the intentional communities movement in general, in the broad sense, I see lots of potential for it going in an anarchist direction. One of which is that I see lots of strong anarchist elements in intentional communities. I've gone to a lot of intentional communities, visited a whole bunch, and I've seen a lot of use of consensus, an emphasis on using the consensus process and making sure everyone agrees or that everyone is okay with whatever direction you're going with. Which makes sense in a practical sense, because if you're living with these people all the time and not everyone is in agreement, lots of conflicts can come up later on. So in that sense, consensus in anarchist processes is a practical benefit. I also see a lot of emphasis in intentional communities movement on participation of everyone together, and also on small-scale organizing, you know, face-to-face interacting and decision-making. I see a strong leftist tendency in the intentional communities movement. A lot of people believe in leftist sensibilities, you know, are Naderites, or just generally anti-corporate, anti-capitalist, either explicitly or inexplicitly. And also, the intentional communities movement is generally decentralized. There's no leader or committee or group that determines the direction of the intentional communities movement or that controls it. Another potential I see in the intentional communities movement is that a lot of the people that live in intentional communities or are in some way associated with it believe in and work in a lot of anarchist-type things or in areas that anarchists have a lot of interest in. Examples of this would be a lot of people are interested in anti-war, anti-military stuff, in alternative technology, in unschooling, in ecology, feminism, in alternative health and medicine, in vegetarianism, and anti-consumerism. This is elements that anarchism and intentional communities both share. And I see a lot of people that live in some form of intentional community doing so because they believe that doing so will help change society or change the world. A lot of people join intentional communities to set an example, or to raise consciousness, or to provide an alternative to the mainstream, which is all elements I see anarchism is working for as well. And I think a lot of intentional communities people are anarchists in the sense that they believe in the ideas of, you know, bottom-up organizing, small-scale organizing, participation and all that, and non-domination and non-hierarchy. And in fact, there's this one example where I talked with this one guy who's a pretty big name in the intentional communities movement, and I talked to him about this one anarchist organization, the Anarchist Communitarian Network, and about how we want to provide an anarchist consciousness for the intentional communities movement. And he got actually upset because he thought these intentional communities movements or organizations that he works with actually does that. He said that, you know, the intentional communities organizations he works with is critiques domination and hierarchy and all that. And so I think a lot of people agree with anarchist ideas in the intentional communities movement, but they just don't use the word, or they're scared of it, or they don't tie it all together in a neat little ideological package that anarchism does. And so I think that there's a lot of potential for moving the intentional communities movement into a more anarchist direction. It's in a pretty close anarchist direction already, but I think it can become explicitly anarchist. I think one of, you know, the definite jobs is overcoming all the stigmas and the bad connotations attached with the word. But I think that the anarchist movement, with all the anarchist intentional communities, like, you know, collective houses in the intentional communities movement, can meet midway with basically anarchist federations, which I also see as an essential part of anarchist intentional communities organizing, is having federations or networks. My particular focus is on federations, but any kinds of coalitions, I would say, or organizing between communities is very useful. The value that I see in these organizations would be one important one being the economic and material cost sharing. I think that, you know, if you pull your money together to help, you know, pay the rent on the house or land, or pull money together for help paying medical expenses or just practical stuff like transportation and food, I think that can help the intentional communities themselves a lot, and that can help, you know, with the structures and self-serving a useful function. I see these cross-community organizations also helping with labor, skills, and knowledge exchange. I think that, you know, while intentional communities themselves are great, I think having a cross-fertilization of different people with different skills visiting different communities can add a lot, and a lot of people living in these communities can gain a lot. And it can also help with the growth of knowledge, too. Not everyone in a community knows how to, you know, fix a car or something, you know, and someone from another community can come and help spread this knowledge free of charge. And another advantage for cross-community anarchist intentional community federation, or just cross-community federation in general, would be that it creates a larger social context. It creates basically a community of communities. And I've experienced this myself with Twin Oaks. Twin Oaks is part of a federation of income-sharing intentional communities. And it's a pretty tight cultural social network where at sometimes you kind of feel like you don't live in the United States. You live in this federation of egalitarian communities. A lot of people in the different communities know each other, and, you know, some people have different intimate relations with other people in different communities. And that creates a greater sense of, you know, community outside of your community. And I see one, you know, theoretical advantage for intentional communities federations being basically what we talked about in the last workshop, creating dual power. I think that intentional communities federations can, create a dual power situation in many practical ways that anarchists don't necessarily think about. Anarchists, I think, a lot of times support the idea of dual power, but don't see any practical ways to build it up, to create it. And intentional communities, in my idea, is basically all about practical alternatives, creating practical lifestyles and institutions. For instance, anarchist intentional communities federations can build up the... basically, the federations can help have anarchist alternatives or spaces to deal with basically all aspects of life. Ideally, I would say that intentional communities can, and to some small degree already do, provide for the economic well-being of the members. Like, a lot of intentional communities, even urban, you know, collective houses, have community gardens, or, you know, grow their own food, or have workshops, or, you know, make their own stuff materially. A lot of intentional communities have a value of self-sufficiency. Not that many, if any, intentional communities are self-sufficient, but a lot of them strive for that ideal. I would see federations as helping with this self-sufficiency, that if you have, like, one federation specializing in food and crops, you know, say one out in the rural countryside, you know, they grow lots of crops, and then, like, you know, urban intentional communities, you know, build stuff in workshops, or, you know, use the advantages of an urban environment. With an anarchist intentional community federation, you can have, within the federation, all the economic needs provided for, which can ultimately lead to a self-sufficient dual-power situation, where if you have all the needs provided for within the federation, you wouldn't need any real support of the capitalist system at all. And so, potentially, you could go your own way, your own separate way, which I would define as dual-power. But, of course, that means building up the labor and productivity of the intentional communities themselves, which kind of, in a sense, defies the definition, or maybe expands the definition of intentional community, depending on your perspective. I would see that an ideal for anarchist intentional community direction being basically the elimination of the divide of work and play. I would see that, you know, by having gardens or workshops or whatever in the, you know, collective house, land trust, you could have it be part of your daily life. You can make it a more enjoyable experience. And especially if you have a self-managed democratic environment, you can work together and find different ways to make that work, which you definitely wouldn't have in any traditional workplace or any traditional household. And I would also see, you know, something that can be built upon for the intentional communities movement and for community organizing in general is having local communities, local neighborhoods, organize themselves and become basically intentionalize themselves, have them turn into intentional communities. In the sense that if you have a neighborhood assembly, which is close enough and organized enough, they could potentially buy land or make a land trust or buy a house where people go to live in intentionally. And this has actually happened in some real-life examples. I think in this magazine, Communities Magazine, that the Fellowship for Intentional Communities puts out, I forget what issue, but they do talk of an example of a neighborhood that got together. They had a pretty close neighborhood assembly, and they decided to form a land trust or co-housing. And so they tore down all the walls and stuff, and they basically became an intentional community. There was a neighborhood association which intentionalized themselves and became self-managing and self-selecting. And let's see. Okay. And I also would see that a goal of intentional communities and the goal for the anarchist intentional communities movement would be basically as independent and self-sufficient as possible. I already talked about the economics to some degree, but also I think that in terms of taxes and tax avoidance, basically, that can take place a lot easier in intentional communities in the sense that a lot of people are war tax resistors, you know, refuse to pay war taxes. And there's lots of knowledge about that. There's lots of people, even in through legal means, there's, you know, you can incorporate yourself, 501c3 corporations or 501d corporations, which is basically the same kind of tax status as a monastery, where you don't pay taxes as much and you basically become more independent of the state apparatus or, you know, the state contributing to the state system. Also, I think that intentional communities can a lot of times, if they're, you know, discreet and basically tactful enough, they can have law enforcement not harass them as much as you would if you were not living in community or living in an isolated way. I think intentional communities generally have a reputation as being pretty, you know, fine, upstanding citizens, and that if you just, you know, have a consciously aware of how the community and you are interacting in the community to not provoke law enforcement, you can become, to a large degree, not as regulated by law enforcement. So I see intentional communities as providing a sphere where you could basically escape the state and through self-sufficiency, encouraging self-sufficiency, escape capitalism. Of course, it's nowhere near complete, and it's always, you know, working towards that direction. But I see it as providing an environment where it can help you work towards that direction of total independence. And basically, I also see one important aspect of anarchist intentional communities is being working to be as open and inviting and accessible to the outside as possible. I see that as being necessity if you want to create a dual power situation with anarchist intentional communities, meaning like normal working class people or people of color. I think a lot of times the intentional communities movement, like the anarchist movement, is seen as being a white middle class thing. And I think that doesn't have to be the case. And I think it practically, it makes more sense for, you know, lower class people to be a part of intentional communities because it's so much more economical. You save so much more costs, and you can, if you have a collective house or whatever, it can save from having to pay these incredible rents of apartments or whatever. The trick, of course, is explaining these benefits to average working class people, to convincing them that you would not lose your autonomy, freedom, whatever, within a community setting. And I see that as basically being a big objection and misconception to intentional communities themselves, which I can explain later. And I'm not that prepared. I don't really have anything else to say. Yeah.